The Rebbe starts off the sicha by saying that we discussed many times regarding sedris that are joined, parshias that are joined, that from the fact that they were connected in a way that they become one sedra, that is, that the two sedris are divided just into the regular seven aliyah, seven people being called up, and furthermore, we connect the end of the first parsha and the beginning of the second parsha through one aliyah, so there's one person called up, and there's going to be a bracha made before the aliyah, which is the end of part of the end of the previous parsha. And the bracha that he's going to make afterwards is going to be on the section of the next parsha. This itself tells us that these two sedras have a certain common theme in their content, in what they're all about. And this is why these two parshas could be combined, could be connected. So we need to understand what is the common theme, the common denominator in the sedras of Bahar and Bechukosai. And the Rebbe says, on the contrary, since, as we discussed a number of times, the name of the sedra hints to its content, seemingly the names Bahar and Bechukosai are actually representing and bringing out opposite ideas. Bahar, which is a mountain, of course, represents on Hagbah, on feeling lifted up, feeling high. In Avoyde Ruchnis, this means that a person, a Yid, sometimes has to act in a way of expansiveness, strength, Vayigbal liboy bedarkei Hashem, that in the ways of Hashem, the person feels himself high. For example, when it comes to a matter of a challenge, a test, a nisoyin, he has to stand strong with strength, with azus, with boldness, not to be despoiled, not to be impacted by what's going on, being able to withstand the test. As it says, a Yid has to be az kanom, or bold as a leopard. On the other hand, b'chukoisai teilechu, is the idea of fulfilling the chukim. And what are chukim? Chukim are associated with bittul, with feeling nullified, feeling humble. Chukim, a person does, a Yid is supposed to do, as it says, chukah chakakti, Hashem says, I gave you this chukah, gzeiro gozarti, I decreed it, ein lucha reshus lahar acharei, you have no right to question it. That this is what Hashem says, and we need to obey, just because Hashem said so, even though we don't know the reason. In fact, it might even go the opposite of logic and reason. So how do these two things of Bahar, feeling high and strong, and Bechukosai, which represents the ultimate of Bittul, go together? Says the Rebbe, we're going to understand this by first looking a little bit more carefully and explaining the name of the first of these two sedras, according to Minig Yisrael, that Minig Yisrael is Toirehi, that we call it Bahar. And seemingly it's not understood. The main emphasis, you would think, should be on the word Sinai. This is the special, unique mountain on which the Torah was given. So the Sedra should have been called Sinai, or at least Bahar Sinai, as we find by other Sedras, that the name of the Parsha has two words. How does it make sense to call the Parsha by the name Bahar without even mentioning which mountain we're talking about? The question is even stronger when we understand what the Torah and Avodas Hashem that we're supposed to take from Har Sinai is. Chazal tell us that the reason why Har Sinai was chosen, that the Torah should be given on it, is because it is lower than all of the mountains. And really, this automatically now has two opposite ideas. The fact that it's a Har and it's the lowest mountain. On the one hand, it represents the concept of humility, the lowest mountain. On the other hand, we are emphasizing that it's also a concept of a mountain, because even though, yes, a Yid, from a Yid it's demanded that it needs to hold himself low and humble, nevertheless, it shouldn't be in a way that he becomes like a threshold that's just being stepped on, chas v'shalom. Rather, together with the humility, the Yid has to have a certain feeling of strength, of holding himself high, as mentioned before. And these two ideas is the difference between Bahar and Sinai. Bahar represents that strength of the person holding himself high. Sinai, on the other hand, if we don't emphasize and don't look at the word Har, would just represent the idea of Bittul. In fact, Sinai is so called because of the Sneh, the burning bush that was on Har Sinai in the famous story with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Sneh, the bush, is the lowliest of all the trees in the world. So Sinai generally represents this idea of humility. Says the Rebbe, from all of this we understand that the two ideas, out of these two ideas, the Har aspect and the Sinai aspect, holding oneself high or holding oneself humble, the main mila, the main quality is going to be the idea of Bittul. At the same time, the Yid has to be reminded that he shouldn't just feel and be like a threshold that everyone is stepping on, But rather, Yosta has to hold himself strong in certain areas in certain cases, as Chazal tells us that a Talmud Chacham has to have Echad B'Shmoyne B'Shminis, one of the eighth of an eighth, in other words, a tiny little measure of Gaiva, but not more Chas V'Shalom. So based on all of this, the question then becomes, how can we understand? How is it fitting to call the Seder with the name Bahar, just the mountain, which represents just the idea of holding oneself high, and seemingly missing out the main point, which is the Sinai element, the Bittul element? Says the Rebbe, one of the explanations is that the Avodah of Bittul, the lowliness of man, is connected, of course, with Gadlus HaKel, Hashem's greatness, a Yiddish bottle, because he feels that the true reality of everything is purely Hashem. And therefore, the real Bittul is when the person is his mitzias. He's not feeling his bottle to such an extent that he doesn't even feel that he is bottle. Because the fact itself that a person is feeling that he is making himself bottle, nullifying himself in front of Hashem, that itself shows there is still some sort of mitzias, some sort of entity that needs to be bottle. When one is holding by the ultimate and true bittul, then he doesn't feel anything outside of Elikus. Says the Rebbe, this idea is also expressed and reflected in a halacha in Nigla de Torah. The Rebbe says, we discussed already in the past at length, there's a difference between an eved, a slave, and a shliach. Now a shliach, of course, is, on the one hand, we say, shluchay shalodim kamoy, so he's literally representing and he's like the mishaleach, which includes, most importantly, the highest form of shlichus, that a shliach, at the time of his shlichus, he is like the mitzius of the mishaleach, like the one who sent him. The Rebbe says, as it's known, that in shlichus there are different levels. There's three kinds of shlichus. There's three aspects. There is a situation where the mishaleach, the sender, is giving permission, giving the ability, the power to the shliach to do a certain act instead of him. But the maisa hashlichus, who is actually the one that did the shlichus, this is attributed to the shliach. It's only the result that came out will say, yes, this was by the order of the mishaleach. There's another level, a higher level, that will say that the maisa, the act itself, is as if attributed to the mishaleach. It's considered as if the mishaleach did it through the shliach. And then there's the greatest level, that not only what the shliach has done, and not only the act itself, are considered and attributed to the mishaleach, but even the shliach itself is the mitzias of the mishaleach. Shluchei shalodim, the shliach itself is like the mishaleach. So these are all levels in shlichus. But even the highest level, we would still say, you could still distinguish and differentiate between the shliach and the mishaleach. They're separate people. And that's why we say shluchei shalodim kemoisoi is only in regards to the shlichus. We're not going to say that it's in regards to other aspects that the shliach is doing, even if he's doing it at the same time. This is all as far as a shliach is concerned. However, an eved is not a metzias for himself whatsoever. The whole metzias, the whole existence and entity of the eved, is completely the metzias of the master. And that's why we say masha kana eved, whatever the eved acquires, belongs to the master. Because in the case of a shliach, the shliach is a metzias for himself. He is making himself bottle to the mishaleach. And therefore, even at the time of his bittul, he's still a metzias, he's still an entity for himself. Whereas the eved, it's not that he has to be himself mevatel, he is nullifying himself to the master. Rather, he is the possession. He belongs to the master. And therefore, he's not a metzias for himself whatsoever at all. Says the Rebbe, from this we understand that when one is holding by the ultimate and real bittul to Elikus, it is not a contradiction actually to at the same time be having a feeling of toikef, of strength and hagbah, and he holding himself high. Because it's not the strength and holding himself high of his own mitzias. He's not a mitzias at all. It's all about the strength and the greatness of Elikus. The Rebbe says this is similar to what Chazal actually say regarding an Eved. Eved Melech, Melech. The servant of the Melech is like the Melech himself. And this is not causing a feeling of yeshus, a feeling of self and ego and arrogance by the Eved, because it's not about his chshivus, it's not about him at all, it's not his greatness. It's all about the king. He's representing the king over here. Says the Rebbe, this is why the Seder is called with the name Bahar, only Bahar. Because the ultimate bittul is that as the Yid is in this Avoida of Har, in other words, he's standing with strength and greatness and height, etc. It's the kind of bittul where you don't even have to mention that it's only a strength of Kedusha and not his own Yeshus Chas V'Sholim. In other words, the person is so bottled to Elikus that there isn't even any room to suspect or to think that there's something about his own Metzius involved. And therefore, we don't even have to say explicitly that it's a Har that's coming because the Yid is bottled, that's why he's standing strong. In other words, the level of Har that we're talking about over here is that the Yid is so bottled that when you see strength, immediately it's noticeable. It's only Hashem's strength. It's not about the individual. Says the Rebbe, this will explain to us in Avodah Ruchnius how there is a number of levels how we can describe Har Sinai, and we do describe Har Sinai because these are different levels in Avodah, different stages of Avodah. In the beginning of Avodah, when a Yid is still a Metzius, an existence, an entity for himself, then the Avodah is just plain Sinai. In other words, there shouldn't be any matter of Har at all, any matter of holding oneself high. Absolute Bittul is the only thing. Because since at this point the person is still very much feeling himself a Metzius for himself, therefore at this point he's not shayach yet to this avoida of holding himself strong and high, even of Kedusha, because it's going to end up an idea of yeshus, a feeling of self. The Rebbe says this would be similar more to that, like that first level of shlichus, that the shliach is very much still a Metzius for himself, it's just he's being himself a vatel, and he's doing something now in the place of the Mishaleach. The second level, says the Rebbe, a higher level, is Har Sinai. So first, the first level, we just called it Sinai. In other words, we're just going to focus on Bittul, because the person is still really a Metzius, so we need to make sure there's only Bittul. No Har at all. Now we come to a higher level. We say Har Sinai. The Yid that's doing the Avodah, it could already have some sort of feeling of Har, of mountain, of holding himself high, because he's already holding by a deeper level of Bittul, that his strength is not his own strength, but it's the strength of Elikus. He's representing Hashem's strength. Nevertheless, we still need to be mentioning that it's Har Sinai. There's still the idea of Bittul that's going to protect him, that he shouldn't fall into Yeshus. Because the Bittul at this point still did not permeate him completely yet. He's still holding at a level that he feels himself, that he is being himself mevatel, giving himself over, nullifying himself to Hashem. Says Rebbe, this would be like the higher forms of shlichus, where he's giving over the koyach of his action to the mishaleach, to the extent that it's being considered as the action of the mishaleach, or even more that the shliach himself is becoming like the mishaleach. But still, it's still in a way that you could still differentiate and separate between the shliach and the mishaleach. And therefore, now we come to the highest form. Again, the first one was just Sinai, where you have to focus just on the bittul. Then we come to Har Sinai, where there's already some room, because he's so bottled that you could focus also on the Har aspect, on the strength, because it's the strength of the Master, the strength of Hashem. But the highest form of Bittul is when we're just speaking about Bahar itself. In other words, the Bittul is so perfect that we don't even have to mention, we don't even have to say that it's because of the Sinai, because the Yid is bottled. In other words, there's no room even, no thought that there's anything else other than Elikus. And that's why the only thing we're speaking about is Bahar, because obviously the strength is Elikus. There's nothing else to talk about. Says the Rebbe, even though this level of Bahar that we just talked about seems to be such a high and great level of Bittul, nevertheless it's a Hira for every single Yid in his Avoida. Because in truth, every single Yid is a mountain. Kol Yisrael Melachimim, every Yid is a king. That is, when we demand of a Yid that he should have the strength in a matter of Yiddishkeit. So it doesn't mean that at this point we're chas v'shalom sort of going to forgo and say he doesn't have to have the bittul because there's no other choice in order to protect him from bad and so on. He has to have a little bit of strength as well. We say no. It's much deeper than that. The strength itself is b'pnimi, is the strength of the neshama, of the nefesh alikis, which is truly a part of Hashem, chelik alikami ma'amamash. That is, a Yid has to know that the neshama of the Yid was never chased into galus. It was never given over to shibud malchus, to the subjugation of the governments. And as far as anything that's concerned to Torah and mitzvahs and minhagei Yisrael, no one could give any opinions about what Yidden do and how they should be conducting themselves. So yes, it's true that on the one hand, it says, Dina de Malchusa Dino, we need to listen to the rules of the government. It says, Altas Gara Begoy Katan, don't start up with a young goy. But when it comes to a matter of Yiddishkeit, then the Yid is a melech, is Eved melech melech. And therefore, on the contrary, not only does he have the strength of the king, but furthermore, he's not even allowed to forgive on his honor. Because it's not his honor, it's the honor of the king, of Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Vishachanti, dwelling inside the Yid, his Nefesh Alikis, which is a Chelik Alikami Mal Mamish, truly a part of the essence of Hashem. Says the Rebbe, based on all of this, we'll now also understand the connection between Bahar and Bechuk Kaisa, which is what we wanted to discuss in the beginning of the Sikha. These two ideas in Avoida, which are brought out in the names of Bahar and Bechuk Kaisai, Bahar again representing the strength and holding oneself high. Bechuk Kaisai, we said, is a matter of Bittul, the idea of Chukim. Says the Rebbe, they're not in contradiction to each other. On the contrary, one is coming as a result of the other. Because as discussed, the Bahar aspect, the strength that's being meant over here, is a result of the truest type of Bittul, the kind of Bittul where there's no room even to doubt in any way whatsoever that the Eved is something by himself, but rather, of course, the Eved is just representing it, all he's about is just the master. And this sort of idea of Bittul is brought out in Bechuk Kaisai. And when we do the mitzvahs in a way of Chukim, the Rebbe explains. The Alter Rebbe tells us, he explains the idea of Bechuk Kaisai, that the Bechuk Kaisai is also from the word of Chakika, which means something engraved. The Chiddush of the Oisis that are engraved consists of the fact that not only are the letters one with the thing in which they are engraved, this quality is also found in written letters. They're also now together with the thing that they're written on, but they're an additional thing to the klaf. So even though they're additional, but right now they became one with the klaf. But so when we speak about oisius, the achkika, there's something much greater than just becoming one with the thing that it's connected to. The idea is that the oisius, these letters, are not a mitzius, not an entity for themselves at all. Their whole mitzius is only the thing that they are engraved on. The Rebbe gives an example. You have the ois aleph, or any of the letters of the luchos of stone. What is the mitzius of the aleph? There's no separate aleph. The whole mitzius of that letter is the stone of the luchos in which it's engraved. Says the Rebbe, this is actually, we understand now, the chidush, or the idea of chukim. Chukim specifically, even more and even greater than the idea of gzeiros. The word gzeiro would imply a decree is that the mitzvah is being done mitoch kfiyah, he's being forced. He has to break himself, he has to do something that doesn't have any logic, doesn't have any reason. But the word chukah, since we said it's also from the word chakika engraved represents, that's not about being forced, there's no forcing by doing the mitzvah. The Yid is so buttle to Hashem, so much not a mitzias for himself, like those letters engraved in a precious stone, that automatically, of course, he's doing everything that's according to Hashem's ratzin. Says the Rebbe, this is also the diuk. Let's look carefully now at the words of what Chazal say in regards to the kiyum of chukim. It says, "Ein lecha rishus lahare racharel." You don't have the permission lahare racharel. We'll soon translate more the words lahare racharel. For now, just there's no rishus to think about it. Now, l'cha'ayra, seemingly, it should have just said, va'al tahare racharea, don't think. But the Rebbe says, no, it doesn't say don't think. It says, ein l'cha rishus. What does this mean? Says the Rebbe, we can explain it as follows. Ein l'cha rishus lahare racharea is emphasizing that generally a person, a yid, does have to think. Obviously, there's na'aseh. First there's na'aseh, but then comes v'nishma. Nishma means we understand. We try to understand. We try to understand the reasons for mitzvahs. But in this particular area of chukim, what are we being told? Ein l'cha rishus. You have the seichel, you need to use it, but in this category of mitzvahs, you don't have the rishus lahare racharea. What are we saying? Ein l'cha rishus lahare racharea. What are we negating? What shouldn't you be doing? We're not saying you shouldn't think about it at all. The Rebbe says, even when fulfilling chukim, we're not completely negating using our mind, using our izboinenus, questioning and so on. On the contrary, we find in Medrash Razal, we find various different biurim, discussions, how chukim are not commandments of the seichel, how in some cases the opposite of the seichel. In other words, we are using our seichel still to try to see if it does or doesn't fit in with seichel, and if could we understand it, can't we understand it, and so on. But at the same time, while the Yid is using the seichel, and he has seichel, he has to be poil on a seichel, he's impacting a seichel, that he shouldn't be maharer. And the Rebbe translates the word maharer, not that you shouldn't be thinking about it, but like maharer achrei rabbi, which would mean you shouldn't think negatively about your Rebbe, or negatively about the Shechinah. You shouldn't be questioning him, doubting him. In other words, not to think that there's a certain chisaroin, a certain lack in the chukim compared to those mitzvahs that we could understand. And the Rebbe says, Adrabah, on the contrary, what does the word chukah mean? Lashon chakika. In other words, when the bittul to Hashem that the yid reaches is in a way of chakika, that there's nothing outside of Elikus, as we said before, like those letters of chakika, which are part of the Even Toiv, part of that precious stone, then the whole mitzvah of the person, his seichel, his midos, he has the seichel and midos. But at the same time, it's not a contradiction to his bittul. He uses a seichel, he tries to understand, and at the same time, it's not going to be in conflict with just doing the mitzvah because the Eibishter wants it, because this became now his whole mitzvah. His whole mitzvah is just a mitzvah of a lekus. So it's not that he throws the seichel out, he uses a seichel, and at the same time, the seichel itself is understanding or grasping that really we just do the things the way the Eibishter wants it. Says the Rebbe, with all of this, we'll understand now that also the connection to the idea of most of the Sedra, which is discussing the reward of mitzvahs as well as the punishments, and how this all connects to this name, B'chukoisa, the name of the Parsha. And seemingly, says the Rebbe, it's a bit strange. The idea of chukim simply is that we fulfill the mitzvahs only because they're commands of Hashem, even though we don't know the reason and we don't feel the benefit of fulfilling them. How does it fit that the beginning of most of the Sedra is all about the promises of the reward of the mitzvahs, or the opposite, the punishments if we don't do them, which seem to be encouraging doing the mitzvahs because of the reward that Yid is going to get? Says the Rebbe, the explanation is, when a Yid is bottled to Hashem in a way of chakiko, that there's nothing outside of Elikus, like those engraved letters, which are a part of the Even Toiv, part of the precious stone, then the reward of mitzvahs is also in a similar way, in a way of chakiko, meaning the fact that the mitzvahs bring along the reward is not causing by the person a feeling of doing a mitzvah for his own sake and for his reward and his benefit, that he is going to have physical or spiritual good. Rather, all that he feels again is just the Elikus and the goodness of Elikus. That is, since the Eibishter is Tachlis HaToiv, since the Eibishter is the ultimate of good, then obviously the mitzvahs bring good in every single area, all the way down to the Gashmi is Kepshutai in the most literal sense.